We're holding in the middle of the perek. Last week we spoke a little bit about Zohar and Shomer, the two aspects of Shabbos. They're supposed to remember Shabbos and do certain things, and Shomer, to guard Shabbos, meaning to guard yourself from doing certain things that you're not supposed to do. So now the Medrash is going to define what does it mean Shomer. He brings the pasuk in Parshas You should guard the Shabbos because it's holy for you. So says the Medrash, Mahu Shimur Shel Shabbos. What's the guarding of the Shabbos? What do you mean to guard the Shabbos? The answer is Milahaver Ba'esh. To guard the Shabbos from burning upon the Shabbos an ash or a fire. You're not allowed to burn a fire on Shabbos. Umalazah is very Malacha. And from doing forms of creative work on Shabbos. And to come in and out from the tchum, even 1 foot, you're not allowed to go past 2,000 amas from where you were at the beginning of Shabbos. You're not allowed to leave that. That's another thing that you're not supposed to do on Shabbos. And you're not supposed to take an object in your hand and bring it 4 amas in a Rishus Harabim. The Radal says that it's a deichik to say that we're talking about muktzah. It's not, we're talking about haitzah, we're talking about carrying, or ulu haitzim, rishus l'rishus, or to take an object from one rishus and put it into a different rishus. These are the different things that you're not allowed to do. This is what it means to guard the Shabbos. These are the different things that you're not allowed to do. You're not allowed to burn a fire, you're not allowed to do malacha, you're not allowed to go out of the tchum, you're not allowed to go out rishus l'rishus, or dal ramas in rishus rabbim, carrying something. These are the different Yisurim that have to do with Shabbos. It's time in the order of the things that it mentions. So the Radal proposes switching Lahaber Ba'esh and Lasez Ba'malacha. Because Lahaber Ba'esh is an example of a Malacha. I mean, it says don't burn a fire and also don't do other forms of Malacha. So first I should say like don't do forms of Malacha, and then one of those forms of Malacha is Lahaber Ba'esh.
Could you say like this, which is a profound thought, that Lahaver Ba'esh means to, if there isn't one, you use the heart. But if there is one, and you put it from over here to here, it's also Asr, but that's not Malacha.
I think it's the same thing. They're both the same thing.
It is technically a Malacha.
They're both, I think, the same thing. But there's a specific reason why the Medrash over here singles out the Isser of burning a fire on Shabbos. Because, let's see if you think about it, right? There's 39 malachas that you're not allowed to do, right? 39 forbidden forms of work that you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. And one of those 39 is to make a fire.
That's what I'm saying, make a fire. So, but if there's already a fire, maybe I could from over here to over here, and that's called
making a fire also. But so making a fire is the same thing as I don't know, Bayer. It doesn't mention Bayer here in the Medrash. So why does it single out making a fire?
Wait, did you stop it?
No.
I saw your hand go up here.
No, I was just checking to make sure that it's recording.
Good.
So what's the pshat? Mm-hmm. So if you look in the Pesukim never says what the 39 Malachas are. It just says Loisasa Kol Malacha or Kol Aisa Ben Malacha Maisim Asra, these different things, but it doesn't say what is Malacha. The definition of Malacha comes from Halacha Meishim Sinai, from Chazal, exactly what the 39 Malachas are. The one exception to this is that the Torah does specifically say that you're not allowed to make a fire on Shabbos. In Parshas Vayakel, it says, Leisavaru Eish B'chol Moish Reiseichem B'yorim HaShabbos. You're not allowed to make a fire. So the Torah itself already singles out the Isser of making a fire. So the Torah singled it out, so the Medrash is also going to single it out, even though really technically it's included in when we said Malasas B'malacha. That's one point. But the other point is like this. Why did the Torah single out the Isser of Havara on Shabbos? Why did the Torah single out the Isser of making a fire and not just include it in Malacha? Why did the Torah do that? So in the Gemara, in a few places in Shas, the Gemara brings a machlek is why the Torah did that. One is Havara l'lav yatzis or Havara l'chalek yatzis. Right? The Torah took out Havara from the klal. This is one of the rules of hermeneutical rules of darshan in the Torah is davar sheyatzam in a klal. There's a klal, meaning a general parsha of malacha on Shabbos, and then there's a then the Torah also specifically says havara. Why did the Torah specifically speak it out? So Gemara has a machlekes. Is it because lechalik or lelav yatzis? Meaning lechalik would mean to tell you that to make a difference, to split things. The Gemara says that you would have thought that a person is only going to be chayiv misa or chayiv karyas on Shabbos if he does all 39 malachas, because it says don't do malacha. So if you do malacha, that means you do all 39 malachas, then you're chayiv. But if you do one of the 39, then lav dafka you're chayiv. So the Torah spoke out specifically havara to tell you that even singular malachas on their own you're already chayiv for. That's the opinion that says lachalik yatzis. The other opinion says no, har lalav yatzis. No, it's not coming to tell you anything about the malachas in general. It's coming to tell you something specific about havara. That all the other 39 of the 39 malachas on Shabbos, if you do that, you chayiv karis. If you do it on purpose, if you do b'shegeg, you have to bring a korban chatas. If you have edim and asura, you chayiv mesa. All these things, right? But havara is special. Havara, the Torah spoke it out specifically to tell you that it's just a lav. It's just an Isra Lav. You do Havara, if you do, there were witnesses and they give you a warning, whatever, all you get is Malkus. You don't get killed. Havara is a Lav Yatzis. That's that opinion. We don't hold like that opinion. We hold Lachalik Yatzis. But there is such an opinion that Lav Yatzis. Oh. So the Radal speaks out over here that Rabbi Eliezer himself, in Gemara and Masechet Sanhedrin, Rabbi Eliezer himself holds Lachalik Yatzis. That the reason why the Torah spoke out Havara again, even though it's included in the Malachas, is to tell you that you're chayiv on each Malacha on its own. So over here, the fact that the Medrash spoke out Havara separately from Malacha is simply because the Torah spoke it out separately. Not to tell you that Havara is different than the Malachas. It's included all the Malachas. Right. That's this point of the Radal. The question is, if you understand like this opinion that Havara is a lav yatzis, that making a fire, burning something on Shabbos is only an iser lav, it's not an iser karis like the other malachas, so the question is why? Why is Havara different than all the other malachas? So the answer is a Pashan answer. I heard this from Avilio Diskin. He spoke once in the shul on when I lived in Ramat Eshkol, so he spoke there on the El Shabbos. So he said an answer, which l'chol it's a pasha answer. I bring this down in my sefer on Yevamos, on Vavim Beis. He says that Havara is different than all other forms of Malacha on Shabbos, because other forms of Malacha on Shabbos, we always translate Malacha as creative work. We are trying to create something and make something better and make it newer. Havara is the exact opposite. Havara is, the fire is destroying something. So it could be that you're using the fire for a specific purpose, to heat the house, to cook food or whatever, but the reason why Havara is chayiv is because of the fact that you're destroying something. And that makes it different than all the other malachas, because other malachas, the reason why you're chayiv is because you're creating something. You're making it better. Here, you're destroying it. Really, destroying and creating is really, that's in the same thing. You're changing the mitzvahs of that thing, whether it's for good or for bad. But the opinion that said that Havara is only a lav would understand that destroying is a lower level of creating. So therefore, you're not so chayav in it. I wrote in parentheses that this is not like the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, who has a different understanding in what the Isser of Havara is, but I don't remember what he says, and I didn't have a chance to look it up. So that's why Havara would be only a lav. There's another exception to this idea that the malacha on Shabbos is creating or making a change for the better, and that is the malacha of haitzah. We said the Medrash also spoke about haitzah, that you're not allowed to carry something from place to place, or from rishus to rishus, or daladam's rishus to rabbim. So Tosfos in the beginning of Masechet Shabbos famously says that haitzah is malacha geruah. Let's call it a lesser malacha. It's not the same type of malacha as the other malachas. And there, it's the same idea, because when we talk about Hitzog, you're not actually changing the object for better or for worse. You're just changing where the object is. So therefore, it's not called a creative malacha like the other malachas are. Okay, that's what Tosfos over there says. And that's one idea, way of understanding why Havara would be alive as opposed to other of the other types of malachas. I found another reason why Havara would be different than other types of malachas. From Rabbi Yonos Naibishitz in Tiferes Yohanesson, Shmais Lamed Hei, Perek Lamed Hei, Pasuk Gimel, in the Pasuk of Vilei Sivaru Eish, in Parshas Vayakel, Rabbi Yonos Naibishitz has another vart. And this brings us to some interesting yusaitis about the Inyanim of Shabbos. There's two aspects of Shabbos. When we talk about Shabbos, there's two aspects of where does Shabbos come from, let's say. There's one inyan of Zecher L'maisa Bereishis. The Shabbos is a way of remembering or commemorating Hashem creating the world in 6 days and then stopping on Shabbos. That's one inyan of Shabbos. The other inyan of Shabbos is Zecher L'Yitzias Mitzrayim. Shabbos is a Zecher to Yitzias Mitzrayim, to the fact that we came out of Mitzrayim. There's two inyanim of Shabbos. So it says Rabbi Yonos Naibishitz that the first fire was created on Moitzei Shabbos of creation. In the Sheshes Yimei Bereishis, there was no fire. And then on Friday, Adam Rishon was created, it was Chaytei, Shabbos he was in Gan Eden, he got kicked out afterwards, whatever. And then Moitzei Shabbos, that's when he got the first fire. So fire really is not part of Sheshes Yimei Bereishis. So he says that when we talk about fire, the molocha of fire is not included in Zechel Maisei Bereishis. And we talk about Zecher L'Yitzias Mitzrayim, fire is included in Zecher L'Yitzias Mitzrayim, because fire, burning things, was one of the malachas that they had to do in order to create things for the Mishkan. So he says, therefore, all other malachas have both the maila of Zecher L'Yitzias Mitzrayim and Zecher L'Yitzias Mitzrayim. And therefore, they have the chomer of all the Yisurim that we have on Shabbos, of Kares and Miso and whatever. Masha Ein Kein, the Indian of Havara on Shabbos, only has an aspect of Zecher L'Yitzias Mitzrayim. It doesn't have the aspect of Zecher L'Maaseh Bereishis. Therefore, it could be you can hear why it would be lesser lav. It's only a lav. It's not an Isser Karis. That's what Rianus and Ibishit says, because it doesn't have both nukudas. We're going to speak more about the Indian of fire coming in Moitzei Shabbos in Parak Chof when we speak about Moitzei Shabbos.
You also say Tzaa also doesn't have. It's like. It's not
Nogea
to
Shishi Simei. Why? Why is it not Nogea?
Adam was created Yom Shishi, but there was no Rishus.
There were different places. There were different places in the world to go.
There was Gan Eden.
Gan Eden was.
When he was thrown out, then there were
so two Rishus. You want to know if Gan Eden was Rishus for Rabbim or Rishus for Yochid?
Yeah, I don't know.
Because there weren't any, there definitely weren't 600,000 people there, right? As far as we know. But this idea of that Rabbi Yonos Naibishitz brings us to that Shabbos, there's two aspects of Zecher L'Yitzias Mitzrayim and Zecher L'Maaseh Bereishis, is something that we find about Shabbos in a lot of different ways. That Shabbos is always double. There's sort of a, not necessarily a dichotomy, but there's two themes of Shabbos. There's always like two things going on at the same time. Shabbos is like two things at once. It's not when I was walking from Shul to the bakery, I thought of six places or six examples where we see the union of double on Shabbos. Right? In Shabbos you have this Neshama Yisera. You have, first of all, besides the six things, this time you have a Neshama Yisera. You have an additional Neshama. You have your regular Neshama, and you also have your Shabbos Neshama. There's something extra on Shabbos. So the first thing, of course, is Zachor V'Shamar. There's two aspects of Shabbos. There's the mitzvahs esters of Shabbos and mitzvahs loisesters of Shabbos. And then there's what we just said, the Zecher L'Yitzias Mitzrayim and Zecher L'Maaseh Bereishis. Another nekuda we're going to see in the end of the parak is that the word Shabbos is sometimes Lashon Zachor and sometimes Lashon Nekeva. The same word has two meanings. It has a double function in grammar. And that, I think, also has to do with Zachor and Shomer. Like Zachor is Lashon of like Zachor. Because what do we say? That remembering Shabbos means remember to go do something, go and actively do something. And that's the role of the Zachor, to go and actively be Mashpia. And Shomer is to withhold yourself from doing something. to not do something. That's the role of the nekeva, to passively create things. That's zachar and shomer, zachar and nekeva. Shabbos we light two candles. Well, zachar and shomer, two candles. You have two challahs, zachar and shomer, double. And also in the korban of Shabbos, in the korbanah, so korban tamid, every day you bring one keves in the morning, one keves in the evening, or in the afternoon. Shabbos, you bring, for the korban musaf of Shabbos, you bring two kvasim. It's double the regular korban, double. Usually the korban musaf in other cases, usually is seven kvasim. When you talk about like Rosh Chodesh and Yomim Tovim, it's seven kvasim. There's exceptions. The Sukkot is 14 kvasim. But there are cuts. It's either one or seven. But Shabbos is dafka two. And this Indian of Shabbos being double, that's what speaks about this at great length. Rav Shimshon Pinkus has a whole sefer about Shabbos called Shabbos Malkus. And in the Chelik Dalet, Perek Hey, and Vav, he speaks about all these different ideas of the double aspects of Shabbos. And this really has to do with sort of what we spoke about last week, that Shabbos doesn't have a zivuk. Why? So we said, Pashup Shabbos, was the other days of the week, you have Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then Shabbos is separate. That's one way. The other way we said from the Gra understood that, let's say, Sunday Hashem created the light, and then Wednesday Hashem created the sun and the moon. The Sunday was the idea of light, the potential of light, and Wednesday was the fulfillment of that potential. The sun and the moon was the fulfillment of the potential of light. And then Monday Hashem created, the difference between the heavens and the earth, the difference between the Mayim Al-Yam and the Mayim Tachtonim, that the Mayim Al-Yam and the Mayim Tachtonim had the potential to bring life to the world. And then Thursday was when Hashem created the fish and the birds, which is what came out of the Mayim Al-Yam and the Mayim Tachtonim. So, but what it means that, the way of Shimshon Pinkus explains it, what it means that every day of the week has a zivug, except for Shabbos, is that every day of the week has one day which represents the potential of that idea, and one day which brought out the potential into the Lamaisa. Min ha-koyach al-apoyel. But when we talk about Shabbos, there is no potential and Lamaisa of Shabbos. There's only one Shabbos. And also, obviously, that's in the zivug when we talk about a man and a woman. It's the same thing. There's a potential, and then there's a bringing out from the potential. But Shabbos doesn't have that. So he says that the inyan of Shabbos, more or less, what he says to oversimplify what he says, because it's really more complicated than that. But what he says is that Shabbos itself is both. And that's why we have this double inyan of Shabbos, zochar shavar. Shabbos is lashon zochar. Shabbos is lashon nekeva. All these things, Shabbos is double because the day itself is double. It's both the potential and the bringing out of the potential.
What potential?
We didn't say what the potential is. The union of the kedushas of Shabbos to bring out whatever the kedusha. We'll see more later on about what exactly it means that Shabbos is kedush and etc. Okay, let's go right there. Well, like we said last week, yeah.
Yeah, one
fifth of Adam Haba. Yeah.
So it's a potential of something else. It's not tangible to this, in this world.
Right.
Okay. Which page?
We're in Perek Yud Ches. Mm-hmm. In your edition, it's on page Kuf Nun Vav. Okay. Beini uvein bnei Yisrael eis hili yalam. Now we're sort of darshing the psukim about Shabbos. So the pasuk says that about Shabbos is "Beini uvein bnei Yisrael eis hili yalam." Between me and between bnei Yisrael, it's a sign forever. It's an everlasting sign. The Medrash is going to have an interesting way of darshing the words "Beini uvein bnei Yisrael," the way I understand it. But that Shabbos is a sign between a Kodesh Baruch Hu and bnei Yisrael. Omer Kodesh Baruch Hu, Hashem said, "Hashabbos hazeh nosati liYisrael beini leveinom." This Shabbos I gave to Bnei Yisrael between me and between them. B'sheishes yimei ha'maisa po'alti es ha'olam u'v'shabbos nachti. During the 6 days of creation, I made action in the world to create the world, and on Shabbos I rested. Lufichach nasati lehem sheishis mei melacha. Therefore, I gave to the people in the world 6 days of work. V'yem hashvi'i, and the seventh day, bracha uktusha umenucha li v'lahem. The seventh day is a day of blessing and holiness and rest, both for me and for them, for Klal Yisrael and for Hashem. Lekach nemar, therefore it says in the pasuk, beini uvein bnei Yisrael. I think this is what it means to say that in Lashon Chazal, when you say like bein this, bein that, so it means like whether this or whether that. Right? It doesn't mean between this or between that, like it does in Lashon Mikra. In Pesukim, bein means between. In the Chazal, bein means like whether this or whether that. Bein this, bein, I can't think of an example right now, but
there's one Devarim I just read.
Yeah.
That Rashi says over here, it means.
It means whether.
Both.
It means both.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And this. So.
This is the three examples of food.
Oh yeah, does he say this pasuk?
I don't know. I'm in the barring and I can check find it to see if that's where he
should. Okay.
I don't think so. I don't know.
No. But the Medrash is dashing it like that, like this. Like Shabbos is Beini uvein Yisrael. Whether for me, for Hashem, or for Bnei Yisrael, it's Shabbos. The Pashup Shad and the Pasuk is saying it's a Shabbos as a sign between me and Bnei Yisrael. Like it's a part of the bris, part of the covenant. And the way we're dashing here is saying, whether for me it was a bris, I worked for 6 days and then I rested. Whether for Bnei Yisrael, they worked for 6 days and then they rested. And this also goes back to like Rabbi Epstein asked about last week. What does it mean that Hashem gave them Shabbos? So how do you give somebody a day? You can give them your pen, but you can't give them a day, right? So what does it mean you gave it to them? So saying that Hashem gave them this opportunity to rest, as opposed to having to work for the whole week of Yom Laila Leishpaisu. But here it's saying another Nukudah that he's giving them that opportunity to follow in their footsteps. Pinkus.
To the world is the seventh day.
Right.
To call Israel is Shabbos.
Right.
That's the difference. If it happens at the same time, it's not the same thing.
Right. Pinkus, also in this sefer in Shabbos Malkus, in Perek Chelik Gimel Perek Aleph, he says another idea over here. We said last week that Shabbos is a matana. Hashem said Shabbos is a matana teva. It's a good present that he gave to Klal Yisrael. What does it mean that it's a good present? And why is Shabbos more matana teva than other yamim tevim? Every yam tev is something that Hashem gave to us. So it says that basically that Shabbos is different from other yamim tevim because Shabbos, you sort of plug into the kedusha of Shabbos itself. As opposed to other yamim tevim, the way it works is that you do certain mitzvahs that brings you to certain levels of kedusha, and then that brings you to the kedusha. The difference is like this: Shabbos, you don't play an active role in creating Shabbos; you experience Shabbos. Yom Tov, you make the Yom Tov. A Pashut way of understanding it is that Shabbos is something that's permanently established in the Bria, that every seventh day is Shabbos, no matter what. When we talk about Yom Tov, so Yom Tov is dependent on Beis Din saying, you know, this is the month, and then based on the new month, you calculate the days, and then you come to the Yom Tov. Man creates the Yom Tov in that way.
Yeah, you know that Russian brachos explain why the brachos in Shabbos and Yom Tov.
Yeah.
Before Shabbos, and then Israel.
Right, Mekadesh Israel that was man.
Yeah.
Right. And right, in Shemoneh Esrei on Yom Tov, or even Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, you say Mekadesh Yisrael V'Azman, or Mekadesh Yisrael V'Yom HaKippurim.
Right,
Shabbos is just Mekadesh Shabbos.
Yeah. Right. Shabbos and Israel and right. And Azman. It says because it was created, and Shabbos was created,
This is the basic idea. He says that Pinkus points out a very, it's a cute raya. That when you sing Zmiris on let's say Pesach, what do you sing? What Zmiris do you sing on Pesach? You sing Amavir Bano Ben Gizay Yamsuf, Esrid Fen Esrim Esrim Esiba, or you sing Mimitzrayim Galtanu Mibeis Avodin Pidisanum. What do you sing about? You sing about something that happened in the past. That Pesach is sort of a zecher to that, right? When you sing Zmiras on Shabbos, what do you sing about on Shabbos?
Can I disagree with you?
Why?
Because in the Haggadah itself, it says that we should feel it, like it's happening now. So what you're singing is that
you're right. But as opposed to Shabbos, where what do you sing about? You sing about the Shabbos itself. Yom zeh mechubad mikol yomim. Hashomer Shabbos habeinim im avas. You think about Shabbos itself. Some people say, ayo yo Shabbos, ayo yo Shabbos. But Pika says, you don't have people singing, ayo yo Pesach, ayo yo Pesach. On Pesach, you don't sing about the actual Yontif. You speak about what the Yontif represents. On Shabbos, you speak about the Shabbos itself, because Shabbos is what Shabbos represents. In Parshas Emor, it says, Moyad Hashem Ashitikuris and Mikrei Kodesh Elohim Moyadoi. These are the Moyadim. Mikrei Kodesh means that you called it Kodesh. The Kali is called, meaning it's totally in Bezdin. Shesh Yisomim Teosim Milocho Vayom Ashvi Shabbos Shabbos in Mikrei Kodesh. Kom Olocha Leisasu Shabbos Hila Hashem Bechol Meshe Seichem. 6 days you should do work, and the seventh day, Shabbos Shabbos in Mikrei Kodesh. The question is, why is Shabbos called Mikra Kodesh? Mikra Kodesh means you call it, you make it Kodesh. That's like Yom Tovim. This is the Parsha of Yom Tovim in Parsha's Emor. Why is Shabbos included in the Parsha of Yom Tovim? So they famously say, the Goyin says this, and maybe Rabbi Heschel also says this in Chanukah Sotera, they say that when it says Sheish Yom Teosim Melachol, Vayom Eshvi Shabbos Shabbos, it's not talking about Shabbos Kodesh, the seventh day of the week as we know it. It's really talking about right. 6 days you do malacha, meaning 6 yomim tovim. You are yontif, but you're allowed to do malacha of eichel nefesh. Right? What are the 6 yomim tovim? You have Rosh Hashanah one day. You have Sukkos first day, Sukkos last day, Pesach first day, Pesach last day, and Shavuot. So the 6 yomim tovim and Yom Hashvi'i, the 7th one, meaning the special day of the 7th month, Yom Kippur, that you're not allowed to do malacha, b'chval, even for Echol Nefesh. So it's really talking about Yom Kippur. That's what the famous Vart over there.
Explain to people here, according to the
Rosh Hashanah,
it's 2 days, and then why it's 7?
No, Yom Arichta Dam, it's 1 day. Or Minotaur, it's 1 day, or... yeah. So all the other Yom Tovim, the way it works is that you have to go, as we said, as Rav Pinkus said, you do a mitzvah and that brings out the kedusha. Let's say on Sukkot, so you sit in the sukkah and that brings a certain kedusha. You take a lulav, that brings a certain kedusha. Rosh Hashanah, you blow a shofar, you eat matzah, all these different things, they brings you to a certain kedusha. He says even Shavuos, which Shavuos you say, you know, you don't have any special mitzvahs on Shavuos. No, the Gemara says that Hakol Moedim Batzeres Debina Nami Lachem. And Shavuos is a special Indian, a special lach on Shavuos. You're supposed to enjoy Shavuos, to have simcha, to eat basar v'yayin, or whatever. Right, so these different things, that different Yom Tovim, you do something and that brings out the kedusha of the Yom Tov. Shabbos, there's nothing that you do that brings out the kedusha. Shabbos is itself the kedush. Shabbos is Shabbos kedush. Yom Kippur, in some ways, is like Yom Tov, and in some ways is like Shabbos. There's no specific mitzvah on Yom Kippur that you do to bring out the Kedusha. Yom Kippur, the Gemara says that the day of Yom Kippur itself is Mechaper. There's an opinion in the Gemara, I think it's Rebbe, in Masechus Yuma, that Rebbe holds that if a person, he doesn't even do tshuva, he still has a kapara in Yom Kippur, even without tshuva, because the day itself is Mechaper, without you doing anything. Just like Shabbos, that's why it's called Shabbos Shabbosin. But in other ways, it's more like a Yom Tov because it has to do with the lunar calendar, with Beis Din being Mikra Kodesh, deciding that this is the day, and then in 10 days later is going to be Yom Kippur. So Yom Kippur goes both. The Marsha also speaks about this in the beginning of Maseches Yuma, speaks about how Yom Kippur is a type of Shabbos. Mamish Daf Beis Din, the first Marsha Chedusha Goddess in Yuma, he speaks about how Yom Kippur is also an Indian of Shabbos. That's why. Shivas Yomim Lefnei Yom Kippurim will mafresh the Kohen Gadol. But why 7 days? Because seven has to do with Shabbos, and Yom Kippur is a remnant to Shabbos. So that's what's going on over there. 6 days we do Malacha, and 7 days is the Kedusha of Shabbos. Now the next part of the Medrash over here is loosely based on, in at least in the way I understand it, is loosely based on a Mishnah in Sefer Yetzirah. The Sefer Yetzirah, Perek Dalet, Mishnah Tes Vav. Basically, if you know a little bit about Sefer Yetzirah, so the basic idea of Sefer Yetzirah is that it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world with the letters of the Aleph Beis. And it goes through different ways that Hashem did that and built things and whatever. That it's not exactly negiah to us exactly what Sefer Yetzirah is saying and what exactly all these things mean. But what it says in Sefer Yetzirah is that there's seven letters in the Aleph Beis that are repeated. Yeah? What do I mean repeated? That there's two forms of that letter. There's that letter and then that letter with a dot inside of it. Yeah? There's Beis Gimel Dalet Chaf Pei Resh Taf. Now, some of these we don't know exactly how to pronounce. Like a Beis, we know a Beis and a Beis. And a Taf is a Taf and a Saf. And a Gimel, something like that. A Gimel, people say that it's a mistake. I don't know if it's a mistake or not. I don't know. I don't know. Kaf and a Chaf. Right? Kaf and a Chaf. A Pei and a Fei. A Resh and a Resh. I don't know how to pronounce a Resh with a dot in it. Resh does it. Does a few places has a Dogish. And Dalet is like a Dalet and a I don't know how it
is.
Dalet and a Dalet, something like that. Something like that. Something like that. Akupanim. Right. Beged Kefet with a, and also Resh.
Six and seven? So it's at seven.
That's seven. So there's seven letters, Beged Kefet and Resh. So there's. The thing is that Resh was like lost much earlier, so people don't even talk about Resh. But we don't know how to do a Resh with a Dagish in it. But as far as I know, I don't. Could be there's some people that'll tell you that they do know.
So the rules of grammar doesn't get one, and it changes the grammar of the
next letter of the previous letter.
Yeah, the previous one,
if the vav is gonna have a dot in it or whatever, yeah.
So.
But okay, whatever. That's the grammar. That's the grammar Shabbat. But the Sefer Yetzirah says that these seven letters that have two forms represent seven things that Hashem was choikik in the world. Hashem set in the world that seven is a holy number. He says, Shava Kfulais, this is Perek Dalet, Mishnah Yudalet. Shava Kfulais Beged Kafrat. Shebehen Nichkakin Shiva Olamais. With those Hashem was chaykek, he engraved the seven worlds, Shiva Rikim, and the seven heavens, Shiva Aratzis, the seven lands, Shiva Yamim, the seven seas. You ever heard of the seven seas? You know, the pirates of the seven, yeah, seven seas. So this is where it comes from, the seven seas. Shiva Naharis, the seven rivers, Shiva Midbarais, seven deserts, Shiva Yamim, 7 days, Shiva Shavuos, 7 days, maybe till Shabbos. Shiva Shavuos, 7 weeks, probably till, you know, Sfiras Ayim Shavuos. Shava Shonim, 7 years, till Shemitah. Shava Shemitahs, 7 Shemitahs, till the Yovel. Shiva Yovelis, 7 Yovels, what does that mean? I don't know. V'Heichal HaKadosh, and the Holy Heichal, I don't know what that means either. Lefichach, therefore, chibev es hashviyos tachas kol shemayim. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu endeared to him the sevens under the shemayim. So that's what it says in Sefer Yetzirah. Now the Medrash till close to the end of the parak is going to go through these different things and see and explain them a little bit more.
What happens after 350 years?
Do you want to be there to find out? Okay, so let's read what it says in the Medrash. Shiva Rikim is seven heavens. Shiva Rikim Baruch Kadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem created seven heavens. Umikulam leibacha lemachin shiftei ela arelves, and he only decided for himself to live. Let's say only dafka arelves. Shneimer, it says in the pasuk, sera l'roicha ba'arelves bekashmai. He was riding around in a Rave with Hashem in his name. I don't know exactly what these things mean, but Hashem chose a Rave. If you look at really Gemara in Mesachas Chagiga, the Gemara in Chagiga Yud Beis Amid Beis says what the seventh heavens are. They are Shemayim, Shemay Shemayim, Rakia, Shchakim, Zvul, Ma'ayin, and Aravis. And Aravis is the seventh one. Hashem chose the seventh one. Shiva Aratzeis Baruch Kadesh Baruch Hu. Kadesh Baruch Hu created seven lands. And of those seven lands, Hashem dafka chose Eretz Yisrael. Shinemar, as it says in the Pasuk, Tomid Eini Hashem Alekecha Bach. The eyes of Hashem are always upon Eretz Yisrael.
What are the other six lands?
So the Radal in Ois Mem brings from Chazal and other places. That there's seven expressions of Yisrael Binasan. The seven in Vayikra Rabba, that the seven expressions used to refer to land: Eretz, Adma, Arka, Gei, Tzia, Nishia, and Tevel. And apparently, one of those refers to Eretz Yisrael, and would dafka mean that one. Very difficult to understand exactly what that means. Elsewhere in Chazal, it says that Hashem chose Tevel. He created seven arasas, and he chose Tevel. Like Hashem, Hashem, Eretz, and Tevel, V'yeshveba. Not sure exactly what that means. The Radal brings another pshat that from Maram Berlin, and this is Oysenam Aleph in the Radal. The Radal says that there's seven lands. This we can understand a little bit better. Hashem created, there are seven lands that Bnei Yisrael passed through until they came to Eretz Yisrael. They went through Eretz Edoim, Amoin, Moav, Midian, Sichon, Oig, and then they came to Eretz Yisrael. Those are the seven lands. So, and Eretz Yisrael was the seventh one. Fine. Let's go weiter. Shiva Harim Baruch HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem created seven mountains. Umikulam Levachar Ela Bahar Sinai. And of those seven mountains, Hashem only chose Har Sinai. Shneamar, it says in the Pasuk, Hahar Chamad Alekim Leshiftai. The mountain upon which Hashem desired for his dwelling. So Har Sinai is also the seventh. What are these seven mountains? So the Radal brings that the Gra in his Pirush on Tikkuni Zayar says that the seven mountains are there. If you look, there's seven mountains that are mentioned in Tanakh and there's seven mountains that are in Eretz Yisrael. And the Radal says that's not true. If you look and you'll see that there's much more than seven mountains mentioned in all of Tanakh, and more than seven mountains even in Tanakh that are mentioned that have to do with Eretz Yisrael. So you can't say that. So he says that it sounds like it's talking about seven mountains that are dafka not in Eretz Yisrael. That's why it chose Har Sinai. Har Sinai is dafka not in Eretz Yisrael. So how can you say we're talking about dafka Eretz Yisrael? Difficult to understand. He does bring a medrash in the Hisophus. The Radal brings a medrash that says that there were seven mountains that were competing for which one is Hashem going to give the Torah on. This is a famous medrash that I teach you when you're a little kid in nursery school. I couldn't find the medrash, but it's apparently the whole story with the argument between different mountains. Each one is saying that why Hashem should dafka choose them, and Har Sinai didn't say anything, and that's why Hashem chose Har Sinai because it was the Anav. I couldn't find this medrash, but there's such a thing. You heard it when you were a little kid, no?
Well, the Har Tavor wanted to come.
The Har Tavor was big and strong. I don't know where it is.
All the mountains of the reparations afterwards.
Right.
They went to the conference point.
Right. They had the Treaty of Vienna.
What? My reform school.
This is your reform school. The truth is, I didn't really mamish do a whole research and try to find it. It could be it's somewhere there. I couldn't find it easily. We also, if you remember earlier in Perek Yud, we mentioned that there's seven names for that Yerushalayim stands on seven mountains. And we said that could be that's referring to seven different names for Yerushalayim. But I don't know if that has anything to do with what we just said, because here we're talking about Har Sinai. But there's also the Indian of seven and a mountain. Shiva Yamim Baruch HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem created seven seas. Umikulam Levachar Ele Yam Kineres. And of all the seven seas, Hashem dafka chose the Kineres. But wait, what are the seven seas? So the Gra explains that the seven seas are Yam Tiveria, which is what we're talking about, the Kineres, Sdoim, which is the Yam HaMelach.
One
second. Chilas, Chulso, Sabchi, I don't know what those are. Aspamia, which is Spain, the Sea of Spain, I don't know what that is. V'yam HaGadol, and I guess the Mediterranean. The Sea of Spain maybe is Atlantic, and the Yam HaGadol is the Mediterranean. I'm not sure exactly how to understand. Are you asking? One second.
Is that the word? The terminology?
Of which one?
Yam
The Gra.
Ah, okay.
He calls the canaries yam tiveria.
Okay.
So it's really a Gemara. I'm going to say in a moment that it's really a Gemara. But yeah, what are you saying?
The is a ukinis. It's not a yam, right? It's called the ukinis.
Yeah, in other places in Chazal, the Atlantic is called Ukiainus.
Interesting, it puts Tiberi as a sea. The Great Lakes are bigger than the Yama Tiberi.
It's true.
Interesting. I think it used to be bigger.
I mean, obviously there's more than seven seas, right? There's the Caspian Sea, the Black Sea, and the Yellow Sea, and that's the Sea of China or something, right? The Yellow Sea is called the Sea of China?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yeah, you learned geography?
I like geography. I think that's.
There's a whole bunch of seas, I don't know.
The Baltic Sea.
Yeah.
There are five oceans according to
the Caribbean Sea.
Four oceans, where you come to five?
No, because they started counting the Indian, they count the Indian Ocean as separate from the Pacific.
Indian, the Pacific, the Atlantic.
Atlantic, Pacific, Arctic, Indian, what's the fifth?
Antarctic.
On the bottom.
If you look, it says Antarctic Ocean, which goes all around Antarctica. Not include the Indian Pacific, even though it meets. There's no, it's just
right.
Whatever's around Antarctica.
That's why Chazal can refer to all the oceans as Okeanos, and it's really one big ocean.
It's just one big ocean.
The names are just, they're, subjective.
Both will relate to also the Mediterranean and whatever it's like joined to the Okeanos as the Okeanos. It's connected. The water is connected. You can say the same thing about the Canary.
Yeah. Well, Agav, once you mentioned geography, I used to think that when it talks about Sheva Aratzos, it's talking about the seven continents.
I was going to say that.
But then I decided that the seven continents is the same thing. It's also completely subjective.
Yeah.
They decided to make up different names for different. Technically, Madagascar is supposed to be like its own continent or something.
You can't be the seven continents because Israel's in Asia.
Right,
so
that's.
Israel's
in Asia or Israel's in Africa?
Asia. Where is Israel in Africa?
I don't know. It depends where you draw the border. The
African border is in the Egypt.
The Sinai is in Africa or in Asia?
It's in Asia.
It's in Asia?
Yeah.
Sinai?
The Sinai?
The border starts with the Nile?
Yeah.
The Nile River is
what you said?
Interesting.
And the Sinai Desert is on the other side of the Nile.
So where's it?
The Suez, yeah.
Suez,
yeah.
The Suez was a man-made though.
Okay.
The British built it.
No, it's all in this small part. It's also
and yeah, Israel, your whole
African
portion
of the ocean.
So it became a very European type
of country. Yeah, look, they use European voltage and electricity.
What was man-made?
Very European style.
Okay. So there's seven seas, and of the seven seas, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Dafka chose the Yam Kinneres, v'hinchila l'shevet Naphtali, and he bequeathed it to the tribe of Naphtali. Shemar, it says in the pasuk, Naphtali svarotzay n'moli birkas Hashem. Naphtali is full of rotzen, and is filled with the bracha of Hashem. Yom v'dorim yirasha. It yarshin the sea and the dorim. So what's the sea? That sea is the Yam Kinneres. So what's so special about the Yam Kinneres? So the Radha brings two explanations. One is that some sources say that the Chilazin is in the Yam Kinneres. And then he says, but we find that the Chilazin has to do with Zvulun. Actually, it could be it's technically pronounced Halzun, not Chilazin, but whatever. The Chilazin is associated with Zvulun, not with Naphtali, so where does that come from? So this is another pshat that the Mila of the Kinneres is that the Peiris Kinusar, which grow by Tiveria, which Gemara and Brachos talks about, you know what I'm talking about, are supposed to be very special fruits, and that comes from the sea of the Kinneres.
According to something I've seen, Zvulun is also on the Kinneres a little bit.
Yeah. So that's what, you see this long piece of the Radal over here, that's what he's talking about. That's one of the things he's talking about.
Zvulun is over in the west group.
No, so according to the Gra,
there's like a strip,
even,
but yeah.
According to the Gra, even, it's in the Mount Ovis, doesn't have a chelek on the west.
I'll
show you a map. Which
right.
The
Gros so
is not
the Gros
goes west.
Like
map.
This.
Ulun is like this. Here's the Yamha.
Mm-hmm.
There is a small portion here, and it comes at the end, but not even on the Yam, which is over here.
Okay.
It's Machlokas. That's just the Gros. Everyone else says he's on the Yam.
Shiva Midbaris, Baruch HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem created seven deserts. What are the seven deserts? Okay, we'll look at that in a moment. Umikulam Lebachar Ela Midbar Kadesh. And from all the seven deserts, Hashem Dafka chose Midbar Kadesh, Vehever Bar Yisrael Kishatim in Mitzrayim. And that was the desert that he passed the Jews through when they came out of Mitzrayim. Dafka Midbar Kadesh. Now, what are the seven deserts? So, also quoting from the Gra elsewhere, the Gra writes, the seven deserts are Midbar Isam, Midbar Shur, Midbar Sin, Midbar Sinai, Midbar Pagan, Midbar Tzin, with a Tzadik, and Midbar Kedemais.
Midbar Sin with a Samech and a Tzadik?
There's one with a Samech, one with a Tzadik. And I guess the understanding is that Midbar Sinai is the same thing as Midbar Kodesh. If you look in the Chizkuni in Parshas Bereishis, so the Chizkuni is talking about by Chanoich, when Chanoich was born, and Chanoich was a special person, and Hashem took him away and turned him into a Malach. So the Chizkuni says that Chanoich was a seventh generation person from Adam Rishon. You have Adam, Sheis, Enosh, Canaan, Mahalalel, Yered, and then Chanoich. Chanoich was a seventh generation person, and he was Kadosh. So there the Chizkuni says that, so that was the first example, and from then on you find that all kinds of examples of seven are also Kadosh. And he mentions Chanoich, he says David HaMelech was the seventh kid of Yishai, and then he says the seven heavens, the seven Arotzos, the seven Midbaros. He says the seven heavens are Aravos, the seven of the seven lands, Eretz Yisrael. Of the seven Midbaros, he says Midbar Sinai, he doesn't say Midbar Kadosh. So maybe he understands the same idea, it's the same thing. Of the seven Yamim, he says Yam Kineres. Chizkuni is just the same, it's following Mamash the same as the Pirkei Elazar. Okay, weiter. Shuvah Olam Yisbar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem created seven worlds. Umikulam Leibachar Ela Olam Shvi. And of all the seven worlds, Hashem Dafka chose the seventh one. Shisha Latzeis V'Lavai. Six to come and go. And the seventh one, the last one, is going to be Kulei Shabbos, complete rest and Menucha for all of eternity. That's another example of the seventh one is Kadosh. Now what exactly is this talking about? So the Radal has sort of two approaches. The first one is based on the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Chazal tell us that Shita Alfei Shnin Alma, the world will be 6,000 years, v'chad choruv, and for 1,000 years, the world will be destroyed. Right? So the world is going to be 6,000 years, and then after 6,000 years, the world will be destroyed for 1,000 years. Pashtus, that's the way to understand the Pashtus of the Gemara. We'll get to that in a moment. But, yeah, so what the Medrash is saying over here is that for 6,000 years, the world is going to exist, and in the seventh millennium, the world is going to be destroyed. And we're going to get that what it means the world is going to be destroyed is that's going to get to Olam Haba. That, and he brings that Chazal and other places bring the pasuk that we said last week is talking about Shabbos, and then we said it's also talking about Olam Haba. What's the pasuk? Yom Echad Yivod Al Hashem Lo Yom Vlo Laila. There's a day that's known to Hashem, not day, neither day nor night. That's talking about Shabbos, we said last week. It's also talking about Olam Haba. He applies that pasuk to this idea over here. There's 6 days, the world is going to function for 6,000 years, and then the 7,000 is going to be Olam Haba. That's one pshat that the Radal says. The other pshat that the Radal says is based on the Rishonim that speak about this. The Ramban does not speak about this. The generation after the Ramban does speak about it. Like Rabbeinu Bachaye and Ibn Shua, these Mepharshim, they do speak about this. That besides the Gemara that says that the world is going to be there for 6,000 years and then it's going to be destroyed in the seventh, they say that that's going to happen seven times over. Hashem is going to create the world, exist for 6,000 years, then be destroyed for 1,000 years, then recreate the world for 6,000 years, destroyed for 1,000 years, etc., 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 seven times, and then when you get to 50,000 years, right, 7 times 7 is 49, when you get to the 50,000th year, that's when Hashem is going to destroy the world forever, and that's going to be mamish the end. The famous idea that the early Mukubalim speak about this. some later Mugubalim say that it's not true, and when you shouldn't hold of this. I think the Arizal came out strongly against it, and the Leshem wanted to say that no, we do hold it. It's like a whole vikuach whether this idea is true or not. It's just 6,000 years in the seventh year, or there's going to be seven cycles of 6,000 and seventh. But the Radal says that if you learn like that, this understanding, then the Medrash over here makes more sense. It's seven worlds. I mean, each world, it says Sheva Olamos. So it doesn't say Sheva. It doesn't say seven millennia. It says seven worlds. Hashem is this seven worlds. Six are going to go Latzis V'Lavai, and then the seventh one is Kulei Shavas. If you want the first understanding, it should be seven millennia. Six of them, the world is going to be Latzis V'Lavai, and the seventh one is Shavas. Here you're saying it's seven worlds. That sounds like the other understanding, that it's going to be, it's referring to those cycles. Six of those cycles where Hashem is going to destroy it and recreate it, and the seventh one is going to destroy it without recreating it. And then the Mukubalim talk about, you know, which cycle are we in? That's the... I believe the Livnas HaSapir says that we're in the second cycle. Someone else says that we're in the sixth one or the seventh, I don't remember exactly.
What do most people take the sign of? Is that Arizal or the other Mukubalim?
I don't know,
consensus.
I'm not sure. I know that all the Rishonim will go with this, and then like after the Rizal, I think it became less popular that the whole idea. What were you saying from the Ramchal?
The Ramchal holds that 7,000 from 6,000, 7,000 is just from 7,000, 8,000 is destruction for 1,000. Years and then it's
Olam
Haba.
Right. Ah. Where is this in Derech Hashem? That's Tfunus. Derech Hashem.
Which parak in Derech Hashem?
I just remember it, and I asked the question: how do you know that? And it could be maybe from here or not.
Could be. Sheva Shanim Barak Kadosh Baruch Hu Umikulon Loi Bachar Ela Shnas Shmita. The 7 years that Hashem created in the 7 year cycle, and of the 7 years, Hashem Tafka chose the seventh one, the Shemitah. V'chol mish, fine. That finishes off basically the Indian of seven. The Chizkuni speaks out a few more things about seven. He also says Shiva of the Shiva Ilamas. The Shvi is Kulei Shabbos, like we said from the Brigid of Lezer. He continues to say that of the seven Neiris on the Menorah, Hashem chose the Ner Maravi, which is the last one that's lit, the seventh one. Of the 7 days of the week, we have Shabbos. Of the 7 months, we have Tishri, which has three or four holidays in it. Tishri or Tishrei, what do you say? I have the Prima Gadam in the beginning of Sefer Netrikin says it's supposed to be pronounced Tishri, not Tishrei. But everyone says Tishrei. Tishrei?
Yeah.
It comes from Pashtus, it comes from the Babylonian calendar.
So what does it say over there?
I don't know. And then he says also the Shemitah, Yovel.
It says Chodesh HaShvi.
Right. I saw one of the Mefarshim on the Sefer Yetzirah, I forgot which one, says that we also find that by Moshe Rabbeinu, the Moshe Rabbeinu is the seventh generation from Avram Avinu. Avram, it's like Yaakov, Levi, Kehos, Amram, Moshe. Moshe is the holy from the seventh generation. And I happened to have come across a piece of paper that I wrote many years ago, which is a list of different things that I wrote down. This got to be at least close to 10 years old. Of different things that I found that have to do with the number seven. A lot of them we spoke about. What? I don't know. Does it say what year or not? 7 days of Bereshis, 7 days of the week, 7 days of Sukkot, 7 days of Pesach, 7 days of inaugurating the Beis HaMikdash, 7 days of Avelus, 7 days of Chasan HaKal, 7 days before Yom Kippur, they're mafresh the Kohen Gadol, 7 days between Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah, 7 days of Tumah, when you Tumas Meis, Tumah of Yoledes, Zohar, or Zov and Zova. 7 days a kid has an Orla, on the 8th day he gets his Bris. 7th hour to Daven Musaf, you have 7 hours. 7 months of to give birth. The Gemara says that you need at least 7 months in order to give birth. 7 weeks of Sfiras Omer, 7 years of Shemitah, 7 Shemitahs of Yovel. In the dream of Paro, we have the 7 years of famine and the 7 years of what's it called, surplus, and the 7 cows and the seven shibolim. Mm. The 7th month is Tishri. We said that 7,000 years. It took them seven years to conquer Eretz Yisrael. It took them 7 years to be mechalik Eretz Yisrael. 7 years to build the Beit Hamikdash. 7 days of Tashlumin after Shavuos to be Oil Regel. We have this week, we're starting the 7 weeks of Haftarahs after Tisha B'Av, the Shiva de Nechemta, right? So that's also seven, right? We have Nachmu Ami, seven Spheres, whatever, seven Shiva Rukiyim, we mentioned over here in this Pergadozes, Shiva Rayim, it's also a concept in the Gemara. There's 7 shepherds that are going to that lead Klal Yisrael, 7 Ushpizin, also comes from the Zayar. There's 7 liquids that make a food susceptible to becoming tamei, right? Dvash, honey, dew, water, oil, olive oil, wine, blood, and milk. 7 mayadim, I guess the 6 that we said before, plus Yom Kippur. 7 mesachtas and mesachas and seder nashim. I wonder what the significance of that is. There's 7 brachas in Shemana Esrei. When it's not Shemana Esrei, it's usually 7. Shabbos and Yantav, it's always 7. Musaf is always 7, except for Musaf on Rosh Hashanah. There's 7 generations from Adam till Moshe and Aaron. There's 7 kailas and Mizmor LeDavid Havel L'Hashem b'nei Elim. So it says Kail Hashem L'Amayim, Kail Hashem L'Kovet. It says 7 voices. 7 things of the menorah, 7 levels of Gehenim, 7 mizbachis that Bilam built, 7 seirim, 7 goats that you bring on Yom Kippur, 7 times the Kohen Gadol sprinkles the blood 7 times on Yom Kippur. There's different things. The Rekech says that there's 7 words in the last pasuk of Birkas Kehenim connected the 7 years that the Shratim were born in, and the 7 years that Yaakov Avinu worked for Rachel in order to marry Rachel. And then there's 7, he says, the Rokach says there's 7 mitzvahs that have to do with 7 days. He says Shabbos, Nida, Shemitah, Yoled HaZachar, Pesach, Sukkah, and Shavu Brachos. We have 7 aliyahs on Shabbos, all those different things. Then you can have a whole other, you can have a whole other maracha on number 70, which the Mefarshim says 70 is a function of 7. And you have a whole bunch of different things that have the significance of 70.
So, you mentioned the 7 Canaanite nations.
7 Canaanite nations. Yeah. You have any other ones to add? Let's see if we can add more. What? 7 Canaanite nations. 7 names of the Yetzer Hara. Is 7 there?
Yeah. I think in
Yisrael
has 7 names.
Yisrael has 7 names.
And also,
it's a Rashi that says it.
Beginning of Yisrael, no? Maybe, I don't remember.
Is it Mishtam Eliyahu that brings 7 names of Yitzhar? I think so.
What? Mishtam
Eliyahu, right? Maybe it's Mishtam Eliyahu.
Could be.
According to each level, according to
Yeah, Sheva Shemos Nikra Udo. The pool, yes, Yisrael, Chalim, Chavar, Kimi.
Okay, probably number 7 is the...
Yeah, I don't know the 2, but I don't think that it's...
What?
It's mamash like
that. What?
The 2 measures I'm talking about is the Chodesh HaShvi.
Well, we said that. We said that. The Tishrei is the 7th month.
I wasn't thinking. I gotta wake up.
And then Nisan is the 7th month from Tishrei.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Mm-hmm. So you see that 7 is a significant thing.
You could probably add a whole book.
Yeah, you could probably add a whole book on Taka.
Okay. Maharal writes a lot about this concept.
Yeah, the Maharal does. The Maharal says like... The Maharal has like a whole thing about like the difference between 7 and 8, that like 7 represents like the Shpitz of Teva and 8 represents L'malam in a Teva. And that's why like Chanukah is 8, because it's L'malam in a Teva. I don't know exactly all these things, but such ideas exist.
7 plus 1 is
the Teva. Okay, let's just finish off the parak. V'chol mishu hu shemer es ha-Shabbos v'aylam hazeh, kadosh baruch hu meichel lo kol avonai yisov. This is what we're waiting for. Anyone who's Shemer Shabbos in this world, Kadosh Baruch Hu forgives all of his averes. Shinema, it says in the Pasuk, Shemer Shabbos Mechalalei. He guards the Shabbos from defiling it, from desecrating it. Mechalaloi means from desecrating it. Atikrei Shemesh Shabbos mechalaloi, from desecrating it. Ela mochuloi, rather mochuloi, he is mochul, he is forgiven. From here we learn that that when a person keeps Shabbos, his affairs are all forgiven. The way the Bais HaGadol explains what the drasha here is, if you look in the Pesukim, in whenever the Torah talks about being mechalal Shabbos, it says mechalalecha moisimas. Let's say, right, person who's mechalal Shabbos moisimas mechalalecha lashon nekeva. A person's mechalal Shabbos, the Torah calls it lashon nekeva, refers to Shabbos as lashon nekeva, right? And here, when it says Shemesh Shabbos mechalalai, it uses Lashon Zohar, not like the Lashon of the Torah. Now, Shabbos goes either way, we said it before, Shabbos goes either way. So sometimes Lashon Zohar, sometimes Lashon Negeva. But why would the Navi Yeshaya deviate from the Lashon of the Torah? From here, Chazal understood that there's a drasha that he means to say. It doesn't mean to say mechalalai from desecrating it, but it means mechalalai. He is mechal. That's that inyan. The Radal has an interesting discussion. I wrote a little bit about it over here. About the beginning of that pasuk says Ashrei Neshias Azayis Uven Adam Yachazikba, and the Gemara in Masechta Shabbos says Ashrei Neshias Azayis. Even if a person is Oved Avodah Zara like Enosh, but he keeps Shabbos, Mochoi Moichon like Olav Neisof, Shemesh Shabbos Mechal. He gets his Gila. I know every Shabbos is Shabbos in general. Some of it means Shabbos in general.
When is he mochel? After every Shabbos, or just like
a... Oh, I hear. I don't know. I think a person who keeps Shabbos in general, so Hashem, you know, sort of forgives him for more serious affairs, because that's an even. Shabbos is a stirat of Avodah Zarah, because Shabbos is it gives edus that a Kodesh Baruch Hu created the world, and Avodah Zarah is denying a Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's why a person is we pass in that a person who's mumer. The Shabbos, he doesn't keep Shabbos, so he's called a mumer l'kol ha'Torah kula. That's like my father is like sort of involved in like kashrus and stuff. So like when they try to hire mashkichim, there's one thing that they want to find out about a mashkiach: are you shomer Shabbos or you're not shomer Shabbos? Right? Because if you're shomer Shabbos, that means you're a trustworthy Jew and we can rely on you. He doesn't wear tefillin every day. Okay, but he's shomer Shabbos. If you're not shomer Shabbos, then you have the halachic status of a mumer, we can't necessarily rely on you. That's the one gedda that they want to know: shomer Shabbos or not shomer Shabbos. But it's interesting. The Radal has a discussion. He says that our medrash didn't bring that first part of the pasuk of Ashrei Enosh Yas is Zayis, because that even if you're like Enosh who's Oved Avodah Zarah, because it could be that our medrash understood that Enosh himself was not Oved Avodah Zarah. The Rambam in the beginning of Hilchos Avodah Zarah says that Enosh himself was from the people that were Oved Avodah Zarah. Other Mefarshim seem to say that in the generation of Enosh is when Avodah Zarah started, but he himself wasn't. Yeah. But he himself, not. Nah, that's
the Chiddush. He brought it.
Right.
So that's just the generation.
Right. It was him or the generation. That's an interesting discussion.
He brought like that their kids start to do it.
I think he brought it like one of his kids to the world.
Maybe it didn't say that.
But the point is that there's a drush over here that we're saying kol that a person is mochel, and we're dashing it from the fact that it says mechalaloi lashon zohar instead of mechalaleha. That's where we see it from. We said that Shabbos is Lashon Zohar, Shabbos is Lashon Nekeva. We say in davening on Shabbos, on Leil Shabbos, Friday night, we say in Shemana, say V'yanuchu Vach Yisrael Mekadshei Shemecha, or V'yanuchu Vach Kol Yisrael Mekadshei Shemecha, whatever. V'yanuchu Vach, people rest on her, on Shabbos as referred to her. On Shabbos day, both by Shachas and by Musaf, we refer to Shabbos as V'yanuchu Vach on him, on Shabbos as a Lashon Zohar. Shabbos by Mincha, it's both. Shabbos Yinuchu Vam, on them. Some Gersoyas actually say Shabbosis, but we parse this as Yinuchu Vam, it says on them, on multiple, as if there's multiple aspects of Shabbos, which goes back to what we were saying earlier, that there's a double aspect of Shabbos, that there's Zohar and Nekeva, and the Shabbos is both of them. But the Mukubalim say that you know, there's a certain aspect of Shabbos night and there's a certain aspect of Shabbos day, and Shabbos afternoon, mincha time is all of them together. It's plural. It's both boy and ba. That's why it's bam, plural, as if it's multiple Shabboses. The Rabbeinu Bechaya talks about this, and the Rama Meipana speak about how Shabbos, some people think that the way Shabbos works is that, you know, you start from Lecha Doidi, and it goes up and up and up and up, and then, you know, you're eating your cholent, that's like the apex of Shabbos, like that's a spitz, and then from there it goes downhill, and then by the time Shabbos is over, there's already nothing doing over there. That's how some people look at it. But the way the Mukabalim say it, it's the exact opposite. It starts with Lecha Doidi, when you're Mekabel Shabbos, the beginning, and it goes up and up and up and up and up and up and up, and you're eating your cholent, and it goes up and up and up and up and up and up, and it's Shabbos afternoon, and it's up and up and up and up and up and up, and then when you're in shul, let's say, by Meir of Meitzah Shabbos, then there's like an immediate, you know, drop right there. It's like a free fall. It's not a gradual end to Shabbos.
I agree with that 100%. That's why in Halacha you should say it calmly. It's just like a burak.
Yeah.
And the whole end of Shabbos and the tefillah, you should say
I think that that's the pshat. There's a tesis in Pesachim that says that the reason why we have besamim on Leil Shabbos by Avdallah is to console you because you lost your neshama yisera. So some people think that, like, oh, you gradually lose your neshama yisera as Shabbos afternoon is going along, right? And then all of a sudden, like, it's Shabbos, it's gone, so you make Avdallah. So what do you need to console for? You feel it, you're losing it. But I think it makes more sense if you like lose it like suddenly, like right when Shabbos is over, it's gone. So then you need more of a consolation.
Why is that to the children?
But no, I'm just throwing that in because some people look at that. That's like the spitz. But one nafkamin of this that I see that a lot of people, my rebbeim have come out against it. And with this idea, we'll stop. Is that some people they wear special clothing on Shabbos, covered, you know, for davening on Shabbos they wear a tie. That's it. That's not negative. But some people wear a tie on Shabbos. Yeah. If you wear a tie and you don't wear a tie, it's good. It's all good. Whatever your minhag is, you wear a tie, you don't wear a tie. But the point is like this. Some people, they wear a tie Shabbos Friday night, you wear a tie. Shabbos morning, you wear a tie. You come to shul Shabbos afternoon, you wear a tie. It's not really Shabbos anymore. It's like, if you're doing a covered Shabbos, Shabbos afternoon is the holiest part of Shabbos. Mefarshim said that that's why the Shabbos, by Shalashudas also, it's Panam Chadashus. Each meal of Shabbos, you don't by Shema Brachos, you don't need new people. So, because I don't want to get exactly into that, but the Mukavolim say that Shalosh Shudas is also Panam Chadashus, because Shalosh Shudas is like the holiest part of Shabbos. And then you have the people that come to shul, they don't wear a tie Shabbos afternoon. It's like, what, Shabbos afternoon is not Shabbos?
Or Shtramel.
Huh?
Or Shtramel.
Or Shtramel or whatever. There's the guys that wear the Shtramel on the hand. But Matzah Hashem, we should be zeicher to be mekabel Shabbos miteich Reiv Simcha, miteich Ava, and probably be saying Shabbos.